no other gods. Just a couple of weeks ago, we started our Wednesday night Bible class on Exodus, and I have to admit, I have been stuck on Exodus for the longest of time. And there's something that I'm noticing about the walk of the Israelites and us today is that we have so many similarities, and I think that the book of Exodus has infinite lessons that we can glean to. So today, as we look at Exodus 20, let us reflect on our heart's posture. So if you would page with me to Exodus 20, we read that God gives the Israelites a commandment, and he says that you shall not have no other gods before me. He says this with a level of seriousness, and we see this by the listing of the commandments. Before he addresses adultery, before he addresses murder and covetousness, he says, do not form any idols before me. This signifies that we have to pay attention to forming false idols. And so I just wanted us to notice that. So God knew something that we don't know about idols. He knew that man is susceptible to creating idols that will replace the creator. In ancient Egypt, men used to worship idols. We know Pharaoh was a man that worshiped idols. And we know that how today, in today's form, we know that we have idols that we have formed with our heart's obsessions. Well, this word idol in Greek speaks to reflections and likeness and the things that we have placed on our hearts. Man has made up a reputation of idols that we have formed with things that we do on a daily basis. So in simple, in today's context, we can say that idols are anything that we exalt above God. It is anything that we seek that only God can truly give. Anything that we give worship to other than the true living God. I don't know about you, but when I think about idols, I think about Greek gods. I think about massive temples. I think about structures that people bow down to. Or I think about people speaking to shrines or man-made objects. But today, in the Western culture, you don't often see people bowing down to idols or statues or man-made figures. But today we see people's heart obsessions. We see how people will devote their lives to things that are opposite to God's reflection. Which brings me to my first point, that idolatry turns God's blessing into gods with a small g. In Genesis 1, verse 26 through 27, God introduces himself and he says that, let us make man in our own likeness and image. And if we reflect back, that idols are it means reflections or something that is related to God. And so when we reflect on this idea of idols, we realize that there is a problem about this. Because when God designed us, he designed us to worship him through our reflection. And so today we have created things, thoughts, imaginations, and we have carved things with the hearts, with the hands of our hearts, where we worship our jobs, we worship our marriages, we worship our careers, we worship things that are tangible, status, power, influence. And sometimes these can come unconsciously. But the idea behind this is that we have taken what God has blessed us with, and these things have become our reflection. In Psalm 115, verse 8, it says, those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. And so the more that we place these things on a pedestal is the more that we become a reflection of the things that we idolize. Which brings me to my next point, that idolatry creeps in. as I said, that idolatry can be something that's unconscious. It can be something that we do without knowing. But in a few, we will talk about how idolatry sometimes can be something that is intentional, but we take no accountability for. In Exodus 32, Moses comes down from the Mount Sinai, and he comes and he asks Aaron, "Hey, Aaron, what are these false gods that you have presented before me?" Aaron had let the Israelites build a golden calf, and this golden calf was meant to replace God. And with this, Aaron, he says, "You know what? This just popped up. This just showed up." And when we think about what in our lives, when something just shows up and we have no accountability for it, it reflects to our hearts. The Israelites used what God intended to use as a reminder for his goodness, and they exchanged God's glory for false images. And I understand, because they did this out of impatience and fear. Moses was gone for 40 days. 40 days, and they had no form of communication with God in this time, and they were waiting for answers from Moses. And so the impatience and fear is a reality in our lives too, that we respond to idols when we are fearful and we are expecting God to answer us immediately. I love what Robert said. He said, "Idolatry can sneak in even when I'm not thinking about it. I'm doing it intentionally, but I don't have to define it as idolatry." And we can survey our hearts by asking ourselves a very important question, is that when God is silent, where do I go for peace? What is the thing that I depend on when God is silent? Sometimes I depend on my own ability. I depend on things that I can do. I know I can fix this. And so that can reflect on the idols that we have placed on the thrones of our hearts. In Genesis 22, we see Abraham reflecting a righteous representation of good idolatry. Abraham, God tests Abraham, and he says, "Hey, Abraham, I want you to go up Mount Moriah." And as he goes up, God gives him a commandment that I want you to sacrifice your only son that you had waited 25 years for. I want you to sacrifice this son, this perfect gift. And sometimes when we look at the blessings that God has given us, we don't think that it is easy for us to place those things on a pedestal. But the attitude of Abraham in Genesis 22 amazes me, because he responds with open hands. And he says that, "Lord, whatever your will is, I submit and I trust that you will have a greater plan for me." And as we have read in Exodus 20, towards the end, it says that God is a jealous God. He's a God that wants complete admiration for him. He doesn't want to compete for other thrones, things that consume our time, things that we are obsessed with. He doesn't want to compete with those. And so our devotion unto him is solely to him. I just wanted to point out that sometimes when we reflect our lives and we serve these idols, we are unaware of what the heart is. And so what your heart sometimes loves, it will worship. And it is easy for us, let me turn back to that last slide. Okay. Sorry. There we go. So what your heart loves, it will worship. In Jeremiah, he speaks about the heart's condition, is that the heart is sick. The heart is deceitful. No one can know the desires of the heart. No one knows what the heart can think. And because we have a heart, it means that we are susceptible to idolatry. It means that we are susceptible to to placing things that only God should be seated at. And our heart is the center of worship. Our hearts were designed to worship. Our hearts were designed to reflect God's love. Our hearts were designed to be devoted to Him and Him alone. And so when sin entered the world, it reversed the idea of how love and devotion and worship should look like. Sin, it was interpreted as I love this thing so much, so I should give it my time. I should give it my life. And when we look at our lives, it's very easy for us to see that the thing that we give the most amount of time, it will reflect what sits on the thrones of our hearts. And so the gospel gives us an opportunity for us to receive new hearts. And in Ezekiel, God speaks to Ezekiel and he says, I will give you a new heart. I'd actually love to read that passage. Ezekiel, it says, God says that I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This passage to me sounded like many passages that I have read in the New Testament where God also speaks to Paul, speaks to these group of people, and he says, put to death, therefore, under whatever belongs to your earthly nature, whether it's sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of the wrath of God is coming. And to think that God can give us new hearts and whatever is on the throne of our hearts can be replaced by a new heart is something that we can think about, is that God can give us a new heart. In Colossians 3 verse, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that it says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Just a couple of years ago, I had many experiences where I felt like I was empty. And the thing about idols is that when you serve them, it doesn't pour into you like God can pour into you. And so the emptiness that you feel when you are chasing money and you're chasing your career and you're chasing all these things that you expect to serve you back, is that idolatry can feel empty. And our hearts can be devoted to something and we can still be empty. And now I can say that I have a new heart. Or many of you can say that you have new hearts because God has given you new desires. He's given you new passions. And so if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What blessings have you placed on the throne of your heart this morning? What things have you chased after that haven't satisfied you? There are many of us in here that can testify that we have once chased for something that didn't satisfy us. But this morning, God can give us new hearts. He can give us new desires. He can give us the desires that He wants us. We can become new reflections unto Him. In Romans 1, verse 21, it says that the people suppressed the truth and they exchanged God's glory for false idols. So today we don't want to reject God's truth. We want to realize that God is the only one that can receive our holistic devotion unto Him. So if you're not a Christian this morning, Christ offers you a new heart through baptism. Or if you are a Christian that has faded from or has drifted away from the faith, the Lord wants to give you a new heart again. Why don't you respond to Him as we